We're not in cricket season yet, are we? Newtown hit for six. Bala beat Airbus. Llandudno not letting Bala get away with it either. And lots of other exciting results to analyse on the Davabet Welsh Premier League podcast this week. Of course, we'll look ahead to next week as well. A very special interview in the middle as well. Good exhibition coming up in Bangor soon relating to their European history. We'll learn more about that. Jonah joins me now. Jonah, TNS hitting Newtown for six. We think that TNS have probably found their fifth gear now. Was it Newtown weakness or TNS strength?
TNS have scored 11 in the last two games and look in quite ominous form. They know with eight games to go, it's most probably the perfect time to begin a decent run again. Newtown will be disappointed to have suffered a 6-0 hiding, but their form dipped in the second phase last season, only winning one out of their last 10 games. They still qualified for Europe. If they were producer, exactly the same scenario this season, and qualify, who would argue with Chris Hughes's method of qualifying for Europe?
Bala beating Airbus, a comprehensive first half performance from Bala. Two red cards. At least it shows that either side are up for the fight, because it was one red card apiece, wasn't it?
This was a superb victory for Bala, and they certainly came out of the blocks racing to a 3-0 half-time lead. 3-0 up away from home is a big saying we're going to be in form at the moment. They're in superb form. I said before the game, this match is almost an unofficial derby, and Ashley Williams and Rob Pearson showed their derby-like actions, both seeing red. Seriously, this was a big win for Bala, and if they can produce that again Saturday, who knows?
And no, not letting Bala get away with it, are they? They beat Gap Connors Key. How important are the Williams brothers to MBI?
Alan Morgan would have been delighted on Saturday, beating the form team at the moment, Connors Key. Once again, the two teams produced entertainment and goals for their fans. Llandudno's marvellous season just continues. The Williams brothers, Mark and Mike, are both having great years. Mark is most probably being installed as a Davabet favourite for the player of the season. And at the moment, I'd have to go for him. There's a lot of players playing well in the league this season, but I think he's the main man at the moment and could pick up the player of the season at the end of the year.
Well, heartache for Haverford West. They left the back door open to allow Bangor in the 96th minute. Now, what a result that could have been, Jonah, for the Pembrokeshire side if they'd won.
Haverford West County have competed well all season. A little bit more Premier League experience and a little bit more, most probably, from Lady Luck might have made a difference. But the challenge is getting harder week by week. Their games now, especially against Port Talbot, are vital. Sean Edwards' 96-minute equaliser would have raised the Bangor fan spirits for the long trip home, but it definitely flattened a few beers down west.
As for Rail, well, that's the second time in recent weeks Terry McCormick's been caught out by having a shot looped over him. Does he need to stay on his line a bit more?
Rail's own form has been a surprise to me. Bellevue was always a difficult place to gain points. So to see so many teams go there and win, you know, it's a little bit of a shock, I would say, this season. Craig Williams' goal when he lobbed Teddy McCormick to pick up the spoils for ABBA. You know, it was a strange goal where the defence seemed to go missing and there were three forwards. McCormick got lobbed. But I think Gareth Owen, he'd be disappointed with his team's returns in the goal-scoring department. You know, the Lily Whites at home should have scored more goals at Bellevue. They're left now with a high hurdle to get over to secure safety. But they just got to keep believing they can still get security.
So there's lots of history already in Welsh football and the Welsh Premier League. I suppose one of the clubs that does have a lot of that history in its armoury is Bangor City. They've travelled Europe, they've travelled the world. And the good news is some of that exhibition is going on display in terms of what you can see. Now, the man who's going to tell me more about what's going on and why this exhibition is being held is Glyn. Glyn's one of the directors of the club. Welcome to the podcast, Glyn.
Thank you very much.
So, how did this come about and what's this exhibition going to show?
The history really goes back to the time that we the old Farrow Road ground. I've been doing some work in and around the history of the club at that point. The work is now going on to look at Bangor in Europe, and we were approached by Storiel, which is the new museum.
This really does bring some of those special moments home and closer to home.
Well, exactly, because there's something magical about the European nights.
And where have these exhibits come from? Are they from the club or have fans or other people around the world contributed?
As expected, a lot of programme ticket stubs came to light. But we've also had some other interesting bits and pieces. The other part of it, which I find really interesting, is the museum are going after various media companies for audio clips of games of Bangor in Europe. So we have something which will be visual. There'll be the people can listen to, as well as that more traditional exhibition.
And what's your favourite piece of the exhibition?
One of the Bangor fans, she's been a supporter of the club for many, many years, was actually given a scarf by the Napoli club as a supporter. It's a very strange thing that the supporters were given presents, which maybe says something about the early 1960s. And one of the club officials presented with a ceremonial sword by the Madrid club. And he walked through customs with it. And he just think, in this day, you can't get through with a toothpick. But he walked through with a sword, talking to one of the current fans who went to Poland in the mid-90s, and how... After the game, the team and some of the supporters went to some mud wrestling event, which is not what you get in downtown Bangor on a Saturday night.
Well, I don't know. It depends if it's raining.
It could do, yeah.
Having seen some of the windy conditions and rain conditions we played in recently, I'd say there has been some mud wrestling in that course.
I think the old Farrow Road pitch would be very conducive to a bit of wrestling, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. Unfortunately, no ceremonial sword for any fans or staffs these days. Now, tell us more about the actual exhibition then. When does it start? How long is it going on for? And how much does it cost to get in?
Okay, good news is it's free to get in. The exhibition itself opens on the 20th. And it runs for a couple of months, so we'll be there. We have these mementos from bygone times, and the fact we're there to celebrate it.
Well, thank you for your time on that, Glyn. It'd be an excellent exhibition to go to. Please do, if you're in the Bangor area. Now, Jonah, you must have some memories of Bangor, probably some bad, because they probably beat you senseless in some of your games. If you were to pick one thing to put in that display of Bangor memorabilia, what would it be? A stuffed Di Davis? What's your one endearing memory of Bangor?
Well, Mac, the citizens deserve their own footballing museum. They've always been a very passionate Welsh club who always wear their hat on their sleeve. I personally enjoyed it every time I went to Farrow Road, except obviously the couple of times when my teams took a hide in there. And that was only a couple of times, if you're listening up there, you lot. They've had decent managers in their time. People, you know, I've competed against, but in my time, Neville Powell, you know, he's had some critics over the last couple of years, but his trophy hall for Bangor is absolutely brilliant. And he'll be close to the front of the Citizens Parade when they open the museum. Don't be frightened on the way in, you know, if it is only Neville. But he's fully deserves, if they've got a museum, he deserves to be at the front of their lines.
So let's look ahead to next week's action. All the latest odds, as per usual, can be found at davabet.com. Please gamble responsibly. All Saturday games, but the big one at 5:15. Bala hosting the new Saints. If they want to overtake TNS, Jonah, it's win or bust for Bala here, isn't it?
Bala. Yeah, Bala host the new Saints in the Leicester versus Arsenal type of shootout. If the Lakesiders could claim a win, it would probably absolutely like the Welsh Premier League touch paper, and a title race would definitely be on. It's a big ask for Bala. You know, they don't usually produce against TNS, but they'd have taken being as close as this at the beginning of the season. It's quite simply the biggest game of this season. It's live on Scorio, 5:15 on Saturday. Don't miss it. We'll be there looking forward to the definite Daffabet Welsh Premier game of the season so far.
Now, we'll just dip into the playoff conference for a few games because there's some crucial ones. But Talbot hosting Rhyl, 2:30 kickoff, must win for both sides, Jonah.
Poor Talbot, Rhyl. It's a game both teams will be desperate to win. Technically, I think a point would most probably suit the Steelmen, but I'm sure Andy Dyer, he'll go after the three to keep a good distance between his team and the Lilywhites. Gareth Owen, well, Gaz, they simply have to pick an attacking lineup, be bold, and throw caution to the wind if the great escape is to start gaining momentum for the Lilywhites.
And with Bangor getting a draw last week, Carmarthen winning, Carmarthen will certainly fancy 3 points here to overtake the Citizens.
This would have been a mid-table jolly a few seasons ago, but the battle for seventh is all about a European playoff place, and that is simply what this game is all about. Think Bangor will want the three, Carmarthen and Mac Hazewood might settle for one. But it's still a big game.
And the only advice you can give Wayne Jones, really, if you go ahead against ABBA, put 11 men in front of the goal for the rest of the game. Don't ever give away a last-minute strike.
I've just watched the Scorio highlights, and Sean Edwards' deflected equaliser must have hurt Wayne Jones. But all he can do is keep the Bluebirds believing they're still capable of escaping. ABBA, they've hit a bit of form now and they're chasing down the seventh spot. They'll want nothing more than three points from this game if they are to secure that seventh spot.
Now, back up to the top six. Newtown will want to show they're no rollovers by beating MBI. Were you surprised by that Newtown performance last week, Jonah?
Should I be surprised? I don't know. The champions are capable of dishing out that kind of hiding to anyone on their day, so we really shouldn't be surprised. If MBI landed no carry on winning, they could be back in the race for second. And who would bet against them after the season they're having at the moment?
And last but by no means least, two sides who still feel they have a role to play in all of this, you know. Gap, Connors Key and Airbus. What will happen in that game, Jonah?
Both sides suffered defeats last week and will be keen to get back to winning ways. Priest against Morrison, it just adds that little bit of edge to the game. And both will be looking to get a win on record. Even if they're close mates off the park, when you're in that dugout, you both want to beat each other.
Well, thank you for your insight as ever, Jonah. Do you know there are wiser people than us out on the airwaves? Other podcasts are available. TNS Radio is a cracking one. You can listen to that on iTunes or Audio Boom. Also, Robbins Radio. The latest edition is out. That's worth a listen to from Newtown. That's also on Audio Boom and on iTunes. Have a listen to them during the course of the week. I hope your WPL journey is a happy one, and we will speak to you next week on the podcast. Bye-bye.